I've got to tell somebody that Jesus died upon Calvary's tree. I've got to tell somebody that Jesus.
Welcome to Getting to Know Jesus. We are on a journey as we experience the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. We want to find the answer to what would Jesus do by studying him as our role model. My name is Pastor Glenn Koppel, and I have invested over 30 years of study and preparation to help us see how we can live our lives more like Jesus. We're starting in lesson 001 of a series of the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. I'm going to share how God's timing is always right. It will give us some insight on how God works in our lives as well as to accomplish his divine purpose. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son to live among us and to teach us how to live like him. Then he died on the cross to pay for our sins. Are you ready to be included in his divine plan? At the end of this broadcast, we will tell you how you can receive the entire Getting to Know Jesus Bible Study and Reference Library for your study and benefit. Join us now as we embark on an adventure, Getting to Know Jesus. Yes, there are some things that you really don't want to happen until it is the right time. My niece just recently had a baby, and it helps me to remember that having a baby 2 weeks too soon or even 2 weeks past due can cause a lot of stress and anxiety on the people that are surrounding that event. Being too young or being too old to safely carry a baby to full term also can be a detriment to the life of the mother and the child. So there is a time in a woman when she is a good time for her to give birth. Prior to that or after that, not so good a thing. Well, likewise, that child is not ready once it's born to assume responsibility on its own and get married and conceive children. The child has to grow up and become an adult and learn certain responsibilities and certain ways with its life before it can pursue that kind of an activity. And then after it has grown to maturity and can leave the home and set out on its own and get married, and then its spouse, they can come together as husband and wife and conceive and bear a child, and then the cycle starts all over again. But there's a time window for those sorts of things. Being ready for a particular career or assignment in your career takes a process. I can't just grow up, okay, I'm adult now, I'm going to be the president of a company. No, probably going to have to go to college and get some education. That's presumed that I've gotten my grade school and high school education prior to that. And then once I even get out of college, I can't just jump right into the top seat of the company. I need to learn how the business works in the real world. You don't get that in an academic environment necessarily. And it takes time to grow and develop and mature and understand how this particular job is done. And as I grow and develop that maturity, then when the door opens, I can be the person who has been training himself, preparing himself. I'm ready now for that particular assignment, wherever it may be. But it's a process. And certain things have to come together. Me being ready for, or you being ready for that assignment being available to you. You don't want to take something that's someone else's job and until they are ready to move on or they retire or something else that makes that assignment open and available. Until then, you are preparing. Well, almost, there's some parallel to that to the Getting to Know Jesus Bible Study series. Now, there's going to be some discussion of whether God causes things to happen or whether he just simply knows when they will happen. But the point of our focus is that Jesus did not come until it was time for him to appear. Almost every book or movie or story has an introduction, and this is the introduction to the Getting to Know Jesus Bible Study series. And in that respect, an introduction to the life and teachings of Jesus. In the fullness of time, God works in the background preparing an individual a culture, a locale, or the world for an event. And then, when it is time, he watches it unfold according to his divine foreknowledge and plan. The Intertestament period goes from around 400 BC to the ministry of the John the Baptist, and it tells about how God was preparing the world so that when Jesus would come, the world would be ready to receive him, and hopefully, let's say that enough people would be able to receive him that he'd be able to establish his kingdom here on earth, and of course, you are learning about Jesus today because of the success of that kingdom over the last 2,000 years of Earth's history. The Intertestament period was a time when there was no prophet of God speaking to the people. All the way from the days of Adam through Abraham, through David and Solomon, and through Elijah and Nehemiah and the prophets, there was always someone who either God was speaking directly to that person or someone who was a spokesperson for God to his people so they could know that they were following him. But because Israel had first rebelled and split off from Judah, and then the Jews in Judea had finally also rebelled away from God and taken their religion carelessly, came a period where there was no God. There was a God, but he was not speaking to the Jews. He had just basically abandoned the Jewish people. They had no revelation from him to guide them and to keep them following him. They'd chosen to neglect the revelation they had, so they brought this upon themselves. But even in spite of all of this, God was still working and watching in the background as he prepared the world for the arrival of his son. So even though they had abandoned him, he had not, as they thought, totally abandoned them. God had always promised that he would keep a remnant of the people, of the descendants of Abraham, and he has kept that promise even to today. But during this time of supposed silence from God, there were still things that were coming together to prepare the world for the first coming of his son Jesus, the Messiah, who would usher in a kingdom that unlike any the world has ever seen before or since. There were four time periods in this preparation for the coming of the Christ. The first was the Persian rule. This was from 539 to 331 BC. This time was best known for the rebuilding of the temple under Nehemiah, who was one of the last of the prophets. That temple that Nehemiah rebuilt would later be expanded by Herod, who would start before Jesus was born and would continue until over 30 years after Jesus was crucified before that temple was completed. And then about 4 years after Herod's temple was finally completed, it was torn down and destroyed by the Roman government when they conquered Jerusalem and literally destroyed the city. Well, one of the significant things under the Persian rule was that the Jewish people were scattered over a large part of the world at that time. This was the first scattering of the Jews. Then in the Greek rule comes in from 331 BC to 167 BC. During this time, Alexander the Great conquers the known world. Although he was considered great because of his success in conquering the world, he died of a sexually transmitted disease at age 33, which personally makes me wonder if he was so great after all or not. But it was during this time, Egypt ruled Judea from 331 to 198 BC. Oh, by the way, those of you who are into world history, or maybe you watch some of the old movies, Cleopatra lived during this era. Now, Alexander was successful in conquering the world because he taught the Greek language and the Greek culture to the people that he conquered. Soon, everybody was speaking the Greek language. And he also scattered the Jewish people even further than they had originally been scattered. This being able to speak a common language, no matter what nationality you were born or originally belonged to, you would at least be able to communicate with everybody else because you spoke the same language. Well, then in 167 BC to 63 BC, the Maccabeans rebelled from a Greek and Egyptian rule. The Maccabeans were a Jewish family, and they rebelled against this rule, and the Jews experienced some degree of independence from being conquered by their enemies. It was during the Maccabean rule that the Qumran caves were discovered or dug, and some of the Jews lived in there. The Dead Sea Scrolls, of course, were found in the Qumran caves, and they belonged to this era. This is the oldest writings that we know of today that verify the truth of a lot of the Old Testament. Parts of the Old Testament were found in there to be very accurate to what we have today. So the Maccabeans had some degree of independence, but after a while they were conquered by the Romans, which brought in the Roman rule from 63 BC to 70 AD, when Jerusalem was finally just absolutely torn down and left to be a pile of rubble. Now, during this time, the Jews again were scattered further and further because the Romans conquered a larger area than what the Greeks had held. It was during this Roman rule that Augustus and Tiberius Caesar reigned. And, of course, the Romans were well known because they built roads, they encouraged travel, they encouraged interstate commerce. They encouraged people to travel from one place to another and made it very easy to do so with all these roads and causeways and so forth. Well, there's four ways in which it was the fullness of time. It was the fullness of time politically. The Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans had all contributed to scattering the Jews all over the known world at that time. The Greeks were also contributed in giving the people a common language, so that no matter where they went, everybody would be able to speak Greek. Later on, when Christ established the church, and the church was scattered because of the persecution that started in Jerusalem, the Christians would be able to go to any place in the world. They would find the Jews there. They would be able to speak Greek to them and tell them about the Messiah. And then when the Jews rejected them, they would go to the Gentiles, and they didn't have to learn a new language. They could just speak Greek, and the Gentiles would be able to follow along and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior also. The Romans brought about a common government. Roman rule was the only time in which this earth was free from war. Up to the Old Testament, all the way down to the Intertestament period until Rome conquered the earth. And then after that period, after the Roman rule, there has been war here, there, and in lots of places. Even today, we don't hear about it maybe as much in the United States, but there are some countries that have been fighting with their neighbors or with one another even from as far back as that country exists and its history exists. During this time, the Jews are fear-ridden. They're insecure. They're looking for something to hold on to. They're looking something. They're looking for something that God has to offer, something that's better than the oppression of this Roman government. You know, today is the fullness of time politically also. We have those who are trying to form a one-world government, and of course, that's nothing new. That's been trying to shape up over time and time and time again. The only challenge is that this one-world government does not honor God, and it's never going to be able to take into account all the differing views of all the people that it's going to try to govern. So there'll be those who will try to make a one-world government, but I don't believe it'll ever happen. If it does, God will come in and show them that the world's government is the wrong government. God's government is the right government. Well, number two, it's in the fullness of time economically. There was a pending depression among the Jewish people. They were just unhappy. There's no satisfaction, no peace of mind. They were continually under heavy taxation, first from the Persians, and then from the Greeks, and then from the Romans. And even though there was a lot of commerce and a lot of travel, it was hard for them to be very prosperous because of the heavy taxation. The Romans did make ease of travel, and that helped economically. They built the roads, and they encouraged the commerce. but their taxation still made it very hard on the people. You know, today is a fullness of time economically also. We're finding out that money cannot buy safety or freedom. It cannot keep our fancy buildings from standing and withstanding a destructive attack upon them. Our money cannot buy us happiness and peace of mind. In a very affluent community, not far from where I currently live, I was talking to someone recently who observed how many of his neighbors are feeling very unhappy and unfulfilled, even though they've got fancy house, fancy cars, and some of them have fancy horses, and all sorts of things that money can buy. They're finding that it is not bringing them peace of mind. No, the only thing that's going to give us that peace is that relationship with Jesus. And so there's a world that's finding out that money won't satisfy. They're looking for something better. You know, it's also the fullness of time morally. The Jews have become kind of neglectful of God because, well, it was their own fault. They started abandoning God even back during the kings, even back before the kings. They would abandon God, and he would allow them to be conquered by their enemies, and they'd say, oh, we've been bad, we've been conquered, oh God, we need you, and he would rescue them, and then they'd abandon God again, and back and forth this cycle went until finally, under the Persians and the Babylonians, they were dispersed and basically stayed dispersed from then on. Oh, God has always kept a remnant alive, but they're not a very strong nation like they once were. And of course, since they didn't see the need for God, they didn't see the need to follow the Ten Commandments or any of the rest of the Mosaical Law, and they were just living in sin and debauchery. Sexual immorality was not uncommon among many of the Jewish people as it was with the rest of the world. They were sinning like it doesn't matter. Moral decay was prevalent all over the place. Huh, it sounds a little bit like today. It's the fullness of time morally today also. We have Hollywood and entertainment and books and magazines trying to tell us that if we're not having sexual immorality, that there's something wrong with us. And there's people that are saying, you know, this sex outside of marriage is not fulfilling. This sinning and this doing selfish and stealing and lying and cheating and doing whatever I want isn't working. I need some sort of a guideline. I need some sort of a standard to live by. I need some moral compass that I can use so that I can learn to live a way that helps me not get in war, helps me not have to worry about other people hurting me or taking what I've worked hard for and so forth. We have a world that is looking for something called Jesus. Moral decay is setting us up for something greater than Sodom and Gomorrah. That was two cities in the Old Testament time who were in the book of Genesis. They were so engaged in sexual immorality, homosexuality, orgies, incest, and everything that you don't want to imagine, to the point that God destroyed them by raining down fire and brimstone from heaven. And if you go down to the Red Sea on the east side, you'll see an area where the rock has literally been burned by fire. That's where Sodom and Gomorrah at one time is believed to have existed. Well, it's also the fullness of time religiously. Many Jews have been reading the Old Testament, and not all of them had totally abandoned God. Just the vast majority had. But those who were reading the Old Testament saw that the signs that God had foretold in Daniel and Elijah and some of those other books, Ezekiel and so forth, those signs were coming to fruition. They knew that the Messiah is going to be coming soon. Perhaps today. In fact, there had been some who'd risen up and said, hey, I'm the Messiah, and people would follow after them for a bit, and then they'd find out this person's crazy or this person would get killed or something would happen that would prove that this person was just another charlatan, a fraud, and they would fall away and nothing would become of their movement. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, his followers would probably have fallen away also, but we'll talk about that later on. But today is the fullness of time religiously also. Many people have been thinking that they could get along without God, and they're searching, then they're wanting, as I mentioned a moment ago, that moral compass. They're wanting that absolute standard, that rock on which they can anchor their life and know that it will be solid, that it will be unchanging. It will give them stability. It will give them hope. It will give them guidance. It will give them direction. And that's what Jesus has to offer. Jesus is the only one who has the real answers to life and to its purpose and its significance. So we see that politically, economically, morally, and religiously, there are many people in this world who don't know the answer. They're searching, and Jesus is the solution. They're looking for what God has to offer. Our goal is to see how we can learn more about Jesus and how we can provide those answers to those people that are searching. Now, some of you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're just seeking to know Him more so that you can have the answers to those questions. But there are some of you maybe listening to this program, this lesson today, that have not yet decided who Jesus is. You're going to be embarking on an exciting adventure of discovery. Together, we're all going to get to know Jesus. We're all going to see how He lived His life and how we can anchor our lives and follow His example. He was God's Son. He knows the answers to those questions that you and I have and that we are searching for. We're running short of time here, but we want to thank you for joining us, and we pray that you'll get a blessing as you continue getting to know Jesus. We're going to leave our lesson here because we've run out of time. Getting to Know Jesus is a Bible study lesson series of the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. The Getting to Know Jesus Bible study is a walk with Jesus from the Annunciation to the Ascension. As we journey with Jesus, we will see what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have to say about each event in Jesus' life and how it applies to our lives today. Jesus is not just our Savior. He is also our role model. We want to thank you for joining us for the Getting to Know Jesus Bible Study radio program. This program is supported by the prayers and gifts of listeners like you. To make a donation using your credit card and to help us to stay on this station, please call us Monday through Friday during California business hours at 1-877-44-JESUS. That is 1-877-445-3787. If you call us on Sunday, you'll find us in church worshiping Jesus. But leave your phone number and we'll call you back as soon as we can on Monday. In the Los Angeles, California area, you can dial 1-310-542-1711. Thank you so much for your letters of support and encouragement. Please pray for us and send your gift to New Hope Gospel Ministries at Post Office Box 14505, Torrance, California, 90503. That's New Hope Gospel Ministries, P.O. Box 14505, Torrance, California, 90503. You can also find us on the internet at www.gettingtoknowjesus.org. If you visit our website, you will learn more about the Getting to Know Jesus Bible Study Series, Glenn Koppel, and some of the videos, books, and other items that we have to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. We also have a message board where you can talk about Jesus and what He means to you and ask questions and even respond to the comments of others. Visit us at www.gettingtoknowjesus.org. We will also be glad to tell you about how you can begin a life-changing Bible study series that will help you experience a more dynamic and personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ in order that you may be transformed to be like Him. Call your friends and tell them about this radio program and its blessing to you. And please remember that this recording is copyrighted. That means that you can make as many copies as you like, just don't sell them to anybody else. Thank you for listening. And come back next week as we embark on another exciting adventure in the life and teachings of Jesus through Getting to Know Jesus. God bless you and have a great week. Somebody what Jesus did and what